So my tip is, if you're only doing some very administrative stress,
I wouldn't even do that.
Okay, like I call the April 4th, 2023. Oh, well, just give us a second. Newtown Borough Council meeting, right, work session, Joe Carter. Please join me in the pledge. All right, now I can stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, do we have any amendments to the agenda?
We're going to talk about the parking signs in the municipal parking lot.
All right,
as you'd like not an update on it.
You'd like to talk about this, yes. Okay. Any other amendments to the agenda? And public to be heard? No? Okay. All right. Engineer report, Michelle?
This year's road, road program update, the only thing, to update you on is that I heard from the Newtown Artesian Water Company about their project status. They will be going out to bid shortly and expect their project to be done by the end of June. There are letters that need to go out to our affected residents, and they have not gone out yet. So I'll be sending them to Judy this week.
Okay,
great. I'll make sure they get done for you to sign and get out, Tara.
Thank you.
Update on the traffic signal light at Washington and Lincoln. I have no other update, just to say that it's in still in PennDOT's hands. It hasn't been approved yet. Should your engineers, my engineer's report is in your packet. If anybody has any questions, I could also talk about the grants if you'd like, or I think that's a little bit later on too, right?
That is, but we could certainly talk about that now while you're here. I think that would be good.
Okay.
That's well, on page two.
So the borough was notified that they received two grants several weeks ago, I think it was. And there were two grants that we helped Sue Turner apply for. One was a multimodal transportation grant. It was in the amount, the total grant was in the amount of $276,003. It's from DCED, and that is a 30% match. And that is for work along Frost Avenue, and it include bike sharrows, which are basically the painting of a bicyclist and arrows going up the road to let people know that they could use their bikes along that section of the road and sidewalk along that road frontage from Lincoln Avenue down to Edgeboro Road. Second grant was a 30% grant with no match, and that grant came from the local share account from DCED also. And that was a grant that was applied for to do a comprehensive sidewalk and trail map. Tara, you had sent me the grant that was previously obtained from the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission for work, I think, Amy, that you're working on. Is it Amy?
For the TCPI?
Yes. And I don't know if that scope had changed, but based upon that narrative, it looks like that grant is for doing roadway improvements, maybe specifically at intersections, adding ramps and lighting and line striping to improve safety.
The LSA one is?
The one that I'll say that you're working with, no?
No, it's a safety walkability review.
Okay.
So I don't know that it's specific to that kind of improvement more than it is a plan. Kind of like the Jacobs plan back in the day, which was, looking at the borough as a whole and figuring out safer ways of pedestrian and to a certain degree bicycle.
Okay. What I just repeated was something that was in the narrative for the grant application. So
the scope is a little different.
It changed. Mm-hmm. So if Amy is heading that up, could I meet with Amy to talk about maybe what that group is specifically doing and versus the comprehensive trail or sidewalk? Yes, absolutely. Whoever else would be needed. Maybe we could have another meeting to see how we could use this local share DCED grant and maybe change that scope a little bit so we're not duplicating efforts and still take advantage of this $30,000 for a comprehensive
compliments.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Agreed. And we did talk with the folks from McCormick Taylor on our bi-monthly meeting and just ask for some input as ideas. They gave some general ideas, but I think in sitting down with you will be really helpful.
Okay.
Really more specific ways to change this book.
Okay.
Just really quick about the, and this is the, since we're talking about cyber to you, we got an email today that from the multimodal grant administrator, that's Mark Urgent.
Yes, yes. She's like to be the second person.
Yes.
Thank you.
I figured that's why she.
No, I wanted to ask you, you're the vice president.
Yeah.
Ask him first, thank you.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then she just needs to change my,
she still has to.
And change the person to the second person. And who's going to do that? You will, you will contact her and have that.
I'll contact her because I'll be right now.
Yes, okay.
I'm going to change my title and.
I'll be the second.
And say, I'm like, confirm Emily is the second.
Okay.
Introduce Emily. So.
Okay, perfect. Okay, great.
Great, thanks. And since we're there, the last one is Patriots Park. We had no construction bids received, so we'll need to go out and either split it up, or we may have a bid from McElvain. So Scott's working on putting something together, and there's information we need in Manly Minute, because if we have that, then we know we have at least one person who will bid. Then we would have to go through the process of rebidding. And you know, go through the DCED permission to do that again, and that's, you know, that's required. And then he would bid along with anybody else who wants to bid. So fingers crossed that we'll get somebody.
If you break up the project in segments and dollars, do you still have to put the whole thing out to bid, or could you?
It's easily around the law. So
well, let's not use that word. Does the law mandate that we bid the whole thing at one time?
There's a mandate that projects get bid so that you are not breaking it down into smaller parts simply for the purpose of avoiding the bidding requirements.
Okay.
If there is something that you can naturally break out of a project, you're allowed to do that. But for instance, you can, if you're doing a building, you can't bid the electrical separate from the plumbing, from the foundation. It has to make logical sense of how you're breaking it up. Otherwise, it looks like you're just trying to get under the bidding thresholds.
Mm-hmm. So in this case, we would still bid, but maybe one is for the pavers and one is for the plants. So, you know, there's some way, which is obviously similar to not have to break it up, because then you don't have to figure out how to do it, which is best for potential bidders.
In conjunction with this, we've been speaking about repairs necessary to the building. And I spoke with Julia before the meeting, and I understand that the grant for the landscaping project is separate from the building altogether, so that if we wanted to fix the building in any sequence we want, in accordance with our ordinances, we could proceed with that.
Correct. Yes.
Without waiting for the other half of them.
Correct. Ideally,
so that's it first,
so that
important news
you're not tromping on flowers. I think, does anybody have any questions for Michelle about the first two? Because you worked with Sue on putting those together.
Are you done with your report?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a question. Mm-hmm. Well, walking past the pothole that is in constant repair on State Street, it's sinking again. But there's blue lines into the street. Are they going to dig up and fix the under part of the pipe broken or something?
Talk about that?
Sure, yeah, that'd be great.
Tara asked our office to put a permit application together for to PennDOT to do an exploratory dig in that area. So we submitted that application today, I believe it was. Scott is going to do the work to do the exploratory dig to see what the actual problem is. And he asked that that work start after he gets back from vacation next week. So the permit process is in to PennDOT. And then hopefully by next week, the week after, we'll all know what the problem is.
Once we determine the problem and a proposed solution, who pays for it?
Well, I believe, Taryn, you could correct me if I'm wrong. It depends upon what it is. If it's a utility problem, the utility will have to pay for repair of their utility. But PennDOT has stated that once it is temporarily paved, they will come back, cut out the section, and then do final paving of that area.
Like the patch we did at State and Penn? Remember that big patch we did at the intersection?
That would be the final work.
So that's that kind of a patch.
Mm-hmm.
They only do the top. So initially they had asked us to send them letters from everybody that they could think of saying, it's not mine, it's not mine, it's not mine. And then we were waiting for them to come back, and then they got somebody new, and then this new person says, that doesn't matter. We only touch the top. You all are responsible for what's below. And if it turns out, as Michelle said, to be a utility, then, you know, we go to that utility and have the utility do the repairs and the fill. So once everything underneath is corrected, they do the service, but they are not thinking about below. But as Michelle submitted the permit, we have to get their permission. We can't just go ahead and do those repairs. So
since we had residents come into the last meeting,
mm-hmm.
voting meeting, perhaps we could give this little report next week. So for the community.
I remember, I think it's important people ask you, and they just think it's a pothole we're not taking care of.
Oh, yeah, we've been trying to do something since last August. It's, yeah, so I'm glad we're able to move forward and
that's good
and do something with it. Yeah.
Thank you.
But thanks, I think that's good. Okay. Brian, do we have any other questions for Michelle? All right, then we'll move on to the solicitor's report.
Thank you. A copy of our report is attached. The only, the only update we have is the Steepleview project. The applicant is, we've received notice that the applicant is completing the parking study, and they are expected to be filing for conditional use regarding parking. We're currently in the process of scheduling another meeting with the applicant, their engineer, Michelle, and my office to review everything that they're doing and to make sure that they're complying with everything we're telling them that they have to do. So,
and the traffic study, like initially that was thought that was 2 to 3 weeks, but that's...
Is there a traffic study coming?
They're saying they're working on their traffic study. They're completing it. They know they have to do it. So why it may be taking a little longer than we thought it would, I'm not sure, but it has to be done. So they can't move forward without it.
I heard from their engineer a week and a half ago, and he asked questions about doing an update to the traffic study from 2017. We asked him after some back and forth to do a new traffic study. We didn't want an update to the 2017 study for two reasons. One, that 2017 study was never reviewed, never approved by anybody. Excuse me. And number two is that the uses that the 2017 study referenced are no longer part of this plan. So we wanted a new study with the proposed uses on the plans that are going to be before you.
Mm-hmm. And then the parking study, we also, and the numbers, we also need that to help decide, you know, whether or not we want to approve that, and then what, you know, waivers they may need, what variances they may need. So all that's still up in the air.
Parking study is going to be part of his report. So is the gap study that we asked for.
Yeah. So this has been something that, you know, we talked about the meeting, they asked for the extension, and I know that came from their meeting with you, and that was predicated upon receiving everything in a timely fashion as expected.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible that, and you don't have to talk about it if we should wait for the applicant, but I'm just wondering what happens if we need to extend it. We just do that again.
They can ask. I think the goal, I think their goal, and I know that our goal, Michelle and my office, is to not have to extend it again, but mm-hmm. to be able to make some decisions on this in April. They're really not that far away. I'd say it's not sort of, other than the fact that Michelle's asking them correctly to redo the traffic study, they should be able to get most of these things completed and looking for going on a May agenda.
Right, because well, a month ago, as a previous planning commission, I said 2 to 3 weeks.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, and sometimes you just run into things or somebody gets sick or whatever. So in that case, it would, if it needs to go to the zoning, if anything needs to go to the zoning hearing board, that would be the April zoning hearing board, right? Because then it would need to have all those approvals before it comes to the planning commission.
They probably want to make an April zoning hearing board meeting, right?
Yeah.
Because of the advertising requirements.
No, I don't think they'd make an April zoning hearing board. Also, I think more importantly, until we have something final in front of us, I don't think that Michelle nor my office can make a determination as to whether or not they need what zoning
right,
relief
they
need or,
yes.
right, or
okay.
what type
sure,
of zoning
of course,
relief
yes.
they need. So we need to see that final plan and before that determination can
all
be
right.
made.
That's good.
In it, I've not been through a process of what's in a parking study right. or what's in this particular traffic study. But do those two studies interrelate to each other? And if they're asking for parking spaces outside of the territory of that project, how does that all happen? Who has to go and see what? And what is the operative when they're short of parking spaces and they want to go someplace? And then the second question is, will the traffic study address incoming on Center, exiting on State Street, and the impact that it will have on State Street in both directions and Penn Street?
So I will defer to Michelle on that last question if she knows.
Yeah, that's
the it,
that's
answer
the
to
one
it.
I do know
okay.
easily.
Right.
That is, yes, it should address that. The traffic going in on Center, coming out of State.
And
yes.
Going up Penn?
Well,
because that's the exit route.
Well,
to avoid the center traffic light, which is the purpose of having the one way.
Mm-hmm.
The applicant is, to your first question, I'm not really sure if traffic studies and parking studies are always related. They're kind of covering two different areas. But with respect to their desire to use some off-site parking, the applicant is saying that this can be approved by council through conditional use. We're waiting to see the application. We're waiting to see what the arguments that they make before we make a determination on that. But permitting off-site parking would be something that council would have the authority to either approve or not approve. We've, in our meetings with them, we've expressed our concerns about parking that is significantly off-site for those people who are renting in that area, who are coming back from their vacation on a stormy February night and have to park 0.8 miles away and wheel their luggage back to their houses. I think that might've been Michelle's example that I'm stealing.
I forgot about the kid.
And I think that's something where, whether or not council approves that or doesn't approve that, I think Michelle and I are on the same page. That's going to be a very prominent note on the plan, so that anyone who goes to buy these units knows what they're facing. If there's a note on the plan, if it's just in the HOA docs or something along those lines, it doesn't necessarily show up on a title report. If there's a note on a plan, it kind of accomplishes two goals. It gives everybody notice about what these parking issues may be. And we may make them put a note on the plan that says, you are not guaranteed on-site parking if you live in one of these units. So it's very clear. It also helps the borough when if somebody wants to come and complain that they're parking 0.8 miles away, you can say, should have read your title report. So it gave you, they're on notice. So, but we'll make sure that that's all taken care of if you approve the offsite parking arrangement.
So I have a question. I don't want to get to the point, at least this is my personal feeling, I don't want to get to the point where we're voting on this and we haven't come to a valid compromise between what we think is best with the parking and what they want. So is there a way that we can make our thoughts strongly known to the applicant? Like 20 offsite parking spots for a busy Saturday, I don't have a problem with. 100 for people who live there, I have, like, can we, like,
so send, what you're saying is memo or something? Because everything goes to the planning commission before it comes to us, and that's the end.
If this gets to council like this, the probability of it being
voted
not the way they want is high. Like,
so there are two things I would say. One is about letting your council's feelings be known. Sit in a meeting with Michelle, and she is making these issues very clearly known to the applicant.
Okay.
And both of us, and Barbara Murley from my office, who's working on it, we're making it very clear to them every time we talk to them. And I don't know if you used the word slam dunk or someone did, but we're telling them there's no slam dunk here. This is going to be a hill for you to climb to convince council that this makes sense. That, you know, I know they're very much trying to make it sound as if, well, we're going to do these couple of things and everything is going to work out perfectly. You know, Michelle and I are both in the mode of, well, you're going to have to show us. We're going to need to see the data on all this. And we're fully going to alert council to what we see is all the problems when we see that final plan. And like I said, we've already made it clear to them that whole offsite parking issue is one that's going to be problematic.
Okay. So. No, that's great. Thank you. Thanks.
Is the perimeter encompassing what will be all private property, or are they proposing to dedicate the road as a public street?
The interior road.
They
are not proposing to dedicate it as a public street. They are not.
And if there will be requirements for traffic lights at the entrance and exit, because there's only one way in and one way out right now. Oh, there's two ways in, come downtown. How do you address the issue of traffic lights, and who pays for those?
If a traffic light would be necessary due to this development, the developer would pay for it. But I could tell you that in the 2017 traffic study, no traffic signal was recommended to be installed. And that had, according to that study, quite a bit more traffic than their proposed uses at this time.
Because the comment that I remember from a meeting is the traffic through there on a daily basis would be between 250 and 300 cars. And one of my best sources for information, Jonathan's Barbershop, at Christmas, when the patrons of the state store, the traffic was backed up from the entrance across at the state store past Stocking Works. Stalled. So the volume of traffic in the direction of the traffic, especially the exits, of where you're going to go when you come out of this place. If you had 250 to 300 vehicles, including now we have FedEx trucks and all these other people, and we have, correct me if I'm wrong, Julia, municipal trash pickup on any day of the week, except Sundays, with all these trash trucks. These are issues to be addressed in the traffic study and there's other studies.
Can I interrupt just real quick? FYI, it's only pickup on Tuesdays and Fridays, even if somebody's doing it the other way.
We're making it. I'll call you when they're coming by, okay?
Yeah.
But the nature of the traffic has changed from 2017. And not having a parking garage there is tremendously problematic because now they all have to come out and they can't leave all these cars with them. So in your discussions with them, these are the questions that I'm getting from the Penn Street people and along State Street is, what is going to be the impact on daily usage by people who live there, especially on parking on their streets? Because we already expect, and we've seen it, the Courtney State Street development is already generating traffic, and those people are parking behind a liquor store. So they're crossing the street and all this other kind of thing. So we've now had two major developments in the neighborhood, and the traffic is increasing geometrically, and whatever the combinations of the words. So these are what is being reported through me, through the neighbors when we do your walk arounds and talk. So I just thought I'd share that.
Can I ask a question?
Well, not yet.
It's Marianne.
It's Marianne.
Go ahead, Marianne.
All right. So if they have one spot for the at the condos, right, for them to park, and they're assuming that the other spot will be at Stocking Works. We all know that people aren't going to park at Stocking Works. They're going to park in somewhere in the around the piazza or in that whole area. Who enforces that? Is that going to be our police department who's going to have to enforce ticketing those people for overnight parking? How does that, you know what I'm saying? Does that make?
Because it's private property.
It's private property. There's no restrictions by us, Marianne.
Oh, so they can just park there. So we all know nobody's going to park at Stocking Works.
Well, we would get involved if there's no parking in a particular area and it doesn't impact fire lanes, then it's really not our concern. But if it impacts fire lanes or any other thing that could affect EMS or fire, then we get involved even though it's private property.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Marielle.
Yeah. Does the traffic study extend south of Stocking Works?
I don't know for with 100% certainty, but I believe it goes down to Port Street, down to Stocking Works.
Well, of course, isn't Stocking Works south of Port Street?
Sterling.
Sterling. No. Yeah, it's
no, it goes down from State down to Court, where Court meets State.
Stocking Works. So.
No. You know where John's Barbershop is?
Okay, and I'm asking if the traffic study goes to the far south end of town, so that okay. If we are having a proposal for there to be parking on the other side of the road, are the traffic counts taking into, are they taking into account the fact that there are going to be more people crossing there? And how many cars are they encountering during that time?
Down to Stocking Works?
Yeah, I think beyond Stocking Works because it's incoming traffic from the south side of town.
I believe that it goes down to Stocking Works, not beyond Stocking Works. But I will verify that.
Just, there's nothing indicated on the plans anywhere that there's anything changing for pedestrians if that is going to move forward with that secondary parking area, and it just feels like part of the scope of this study period should take into account that variable.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially if we have a lot of pedestrians that are there, they're walking back and forth, crossing
that.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have very limited lighting down that section.
Okay, but this is not.
No, but I'm just saying it's dark. You know, when all those people.
There's a lot of things that you'd have to look at. I think.
Depending on what the conditional use application looks like, if and when it is submitted, they may need to extend the parking study, that it may be a requirement of the conditional use application, not park, traffic study, to extend the traffic study beyond the area where they are proposing to use the parking. But we still have to wait and see what this conditional use application looks like.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you, Shaw. All right, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. So for next week's regular meeting, we'll be looking for any motion and approval for the special event application for the Memorial Day Parade, which will be Monday, May 29th, sponsored by the American Legion for Morrell Smith Post 440 at 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. There's also, following the parade, the annual vintage baseball game at Pickering Field, which begins at 12 noon. So Bob Musto is chairing the vintage game again this year with Kevin O'Shea and would like to share the news of this annual event at Pickering. If you have not been there, I highly recommend it. It's a great time. They will be holding the vintage game on Monday the 29th after the parade. The event is once again sponsored by CRNAA. And just a quick overview of the event schedule, presentation of colors by Post 440, National Anthem by Shannon Lambert Ryan, first pitch by the mayor, Hope they'll get over the plane. Play ball, they're playing Flemington, the Shattuck, once again versus the Newtown Straits. Seventh inning stretch, God Bless America by Shannon Lambert Ryan, and Take Me Out to the Ball Game, also by Shannon Lambert Ryan. So, again, it's a great family event. You can walk down there right after the parade, and they're very proud to have brought it to Newtown for its 325th anniversary celebration and have continued this annual tradition for 15 years. So, just as an FYI.
1864 rules, no gloves.
Yes.
And if you don't catch it,
you can catch it on the bounce.
You are unmanly.
And if you've never heard Shannon sing, it's a real treat.
It really is.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
The fielding of the Newtown team, is that a Park and Rex event, or is that
Council Rock Baseball League?
Okay, so it's their event.
That's why usually Bob comes in and does that announcement at this work session, but he couldn't be here. So,
okay. Well, I'm just concerned with the borough's responsibility for running the event, and if somebody
can you can always go and enjoy it.
It is a great time.
Yeah.
All right. So we have received a rough proposal because I asked if we could have something in time for Patriots Park. So I think 2 years ago, Sue and Bob started looking at it, and they found somebody, Dave Zerbe, last year, I think he came out and looked at it to give a proposal. And then, as we all know, Sue was juggling many things, and then we lost her. So Bob contacted Dave to see if he was still interested, and he gave us this rough breakdown. I explained to him we have $11,000 budgeted for it, and I said we could also break it down, do part of it 1 year, part of it next year, but depending if it's up to $11,000, we can, that's what we have budgeted this year. So he did break it down. He has $7,000 and then for the roof, and then $12,600 for everything else that needs to be done. Right now, this is for 2023, $12,200 is the bid cap to not have to go out to bid or have a telephonic bid where you have to have at least three bidders. So under that is just routine maintenance. I don't know if we did this next year, what it will be, but I'd like to go back to him and say, can we adjust things a little bit? And obviously he put together something, I think, a little bit more thorough. But this is something that we have budgeted and has been in the works.
Dave and I talked about this last week, and he had a chance to talk to Tara briefly. And he's going to prioritize the needs, because I think the first thing we need to do is the roof. And there's two parts to this roof. One is a wooden roof, or what do they call it, slat roof, cedar shake roofs. And then we have a metal roof. This is not while it's an historic district, it's not a historic building.
Correct.
It came much later. So I'm going to be talking to him tomorrow and discuss what are the real priorities, because in addition to the roof, we have the side, whatever the wood, the slats. It has end pieces. And
the clapboard, you mean? The
clapboard. And substantial portions in different parts we have rotting. And so I'm not sure if you can do some fixes or you have to do the whole, the exterior on the vertical side. So we're going to be talking about that next week to get this more locked down. And then my question to President Council, if we're over that budgeted number, but we have available funds because it didn't snow so much and we didn't clean up some snow, we have money available, can we go out of the budget number and go to raise it to, because of the emergency nature of the fix?
I think that's something that council can certainly decide. Ask for input from the treasurer and budget and finance. We've certainly done that for other repairs. Just keeping in mind that if we go over $12,200, am I correct, Mike? That's $12,200 for the telephone three bids.
For the quotes, yes.
Yeah. So if we go over that, then now what we have to do is we have to get three bids and go through that process.
But is that, if we fix the roof, is that one project? And then if we fix the side, there could be a second project?
Well, that's what he broke it down here. The first project, he has a $7,000. Really, it's next year's project. That's more like, can we, I'm thinking, can we move something from part two to part one to balance it out? Because not all of it needs to be done at once. I mean, the windows are bad, but the roof, that way if the roof is repaired, that way you're keeping the water from coming into there. And obviously the window frames keeping it from coming in.
Yeah.
That way. So
if you award the two bids to the same contractor and doing them at the same time, you're essentially violating the law. If you do one in February and then you do another one in August, and even if it's the same bidder, that, you know, if you're not trying to get around it, you're okay in that regard.
Right.
Okay.
And part of this was budget. We have 11,000 budget, and we've got here, you know, well over that for the amount that needs to be done. Because we've got the windows, we've got the roof, we've got some siding. But he said that the siding wasn't as bad as he thought when he looked at it. So, but it still needs some repair, as you described, Bob.
I'll try to go over there next week with him and get some photos and some identification so we can plot this out, not in a conspiracy sense, but what do we really need to make sure we don't have interior damage because of window, the holes in the windows, and the roof, all that sort of stuff. So we'll come back with a better idea in a priority list.
Is everybody good with the basic idea of moving forward with this? We budgeted it, it's been planned. Bob and Sue worked on getting this guy. So we're just the general concept, we're good with that.
However
it shakes out for the details.
He has had multiple projects in the borough. And the growth of his business is predicated upon his reputation, completing the projects in doing them for the budgeted estimate amounts. So that's an important, when we view his character and his ability, to me, it's without question.
All right, thank you. All right, does anybody have any questions? Okay. All right. Next, Monday, July 3rd is the day after the weekend and the day before the 4th of July. I'd suggest that we may want to close Borough Hall then, allow our employees to have a 48-day weekend. It's unlikely that anybody's going to be coming by with permits or serious questions on that day. So that's something council's good for. And forgive me, I've done this 10 times. Well, no, 9, but like voted for the day after Thanksgiving. I can't remember. Do we need to vote for this, or we just like to say, yep, we're good?
I think it's probably better if you vote for it, so it's an official action. And the only other thing I think you have to do is if anybody has like a time limit, like the third is the last day they can file something, an appeal of the zoning officer's decision or something along those lines, then you just push it to the Monday. You push it to the Wednesday, right? Yeah, Wednesday.
Right. If the municipality declares a holiday, in effect, we're closing the office. Under the court rules, you would move to the next day. Is that operative in the municipal code?
You just have to accept it. You can't, if the 30th day for somebody to file an appeal for something or to file some other document is on the 3rd or the 4th, if you're closed on the 4th is a holiday, so it would automatically go to the 5th. If they come in on the 3rd, that's the 30th day or the end date, you have to extend it to them to the next date that you're open.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
All right, I'll entertain a motion, please.
Are we voting now?
Yes, we'll put that next week. All right. So Judy, let's add that to the votes. Okay. I think Michelle gave a fairly good update on the sinkhole on South State, so I think we're good with that. So we received notification from Chief Forsyth that the tornado, it was a classified EF1 on Saturday, April 1st. The borough lost several large trees. We had no chance to provide the Presbyterian Church, the residential tree fell over there. We had two large trees fall on property and sort of into houses. I think we had one over on Green near Norwood come down. So I would say that our emergency responders really put a lot of work in. Scott was there early chopping up logs and clearing the street off. And we're very, very lucky that nobody was hurt because we had at least one real near miss. So that's my update on that. I don't know if anybody else has any information they'd like to share, but I want everybody to know that it was an EF1 tornado, and it's not often that we see a classified tornado here.
Mr. Zerbe, I'm going to just step out and find out if he's going to stop at this meeting, because he was...
All right, and also we received a thank you letter from Newtown Ambulance for our donation on top of our dedicated fund to contribution. All right, and we did the grant updates already too, so I'll now pass it on to Amy.
Thank you. So the EAC has, as I mentioned, a couple of months ago, they started work on exploring.
Either bring it in or.
A couple months ago, I brought up that the EAC was working on advancing the potential for a single-use plastics ordinance. The township is working on one as well. And so EAC Chair Julie Waldorf is here.
I
am. To share some information about what they've been doing.
David needs to know his application for something on 101.
Harv has already happened for March. It's not for another 3 weeks.
But for our vote tonight. Our vote.
Our vote. I'm sorry. So, yes, not I guess. Yes.
Okay,
fine. Julia.
All right, yes. I'm standing in for Catherine Borish, who has been taking charge and taking lead on this project for a couple of years now. She has been working diligently with her counterpart in the township, who are just a little bit ahead of the borough in doing this. Two documents got shared with you yesterday. One of them is a draft of a survey, and we'll talk about that. And the other is the model ordinance that is proposed by Penn Environment, who is the organization that has been working with states around in this area, some states across the country, multiple municipalities to write similar ordinances. And they keep updating the model ordinance in response to what they've encountered in other places. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what the EAC wishes to do and what our schedule is and what we've done to date. Here. So I believe you will all agree that there's a lot of waste in plastic. We are using a lot of plastic that is single use, that is, we use it once and it's disposed of and it cannot be used again. And this is causing environmental problems, not only with filling up our trash piles and harming wildlife, but now their microplastics, which are the very, very small part of this, are showing up in everything. In drinking blood. Water, in our bodies, everywhere. They're finding it on, you know, remote places like Antarctica. We did a study recently in the Chamonix Creek. So it's really nothing that we can get away from, and it's become a problem. Internationally, there have been bans that have been passed already. The EU has outlawed single-use plastics. Canada has now outlawed single-use plastics. The United States Department of the Interior is working towards outlawing the products in the next few years. And multiple municipalities and states in our area have gone so far. Pennsylvania legislature is not so keen. So it is now in the hands of Pennsylvania municipalities to pass their own bans. You may recall that a couple of years ago, there was legislation passed from the state level that forbade municipalities from banning plastic. It was a ban on banning plastic bags. So, but that has expired. And immediately upon that expiration, a lot of municipalities have started to move ahead. So the borough EAC is very much interested in proposing that Newtown Borough pass an ordinance that reduces the use of single-use plastic. That includes bags, it includes utensils, it includes straws, it includes styrofoam, it includes those clamshell things, anything that's only got a single use to it. And so the goal is to reduce them by passing an ordinance that sets out the rules for when you can and cannot use single-use plastic. And what we propose to do is, and this is our outline, is that in April, beginning with this meeting, is that we're proposing to send out a survey to all businesses in the borough. And it's a Survey Monkey survey. So we send out emails to all of the businesses in the borough, inviting them please to sign up and fill out the survey, get that back to us by the end of April. So we're asking for your input and a final okay for your Tuesday meeting if we could have that. Then based on that information, and your comments, we will help to determine the final version of that survey. But based on the feedback we get in that survey, we're also planning to hold a public meeting. We'd like to designate our May EAC meeting as that meeting and invite the businesses and the public to come and talk about the process of weaning ourselves off of single-use plastics and what an ordinance might do or what they might need to do in the solution for that. There was a similar meeting last night in the township that I attended. It was very interesting. Almost everyone who came was very positive about it. In fact, people were really wanting it to be a federal thing or a state thing because obviously, as we found with other things, we get this patchwork of different municipalities that on one side of the road, you can use a plastic bag, the other side of the road, you can't use a plastic bag. And well, you got to start somewhere, right? So if enough municipalities this, and eventually the state will then follow. The state of New Jersey has already banned plastic bags. They've actually also banned single-use paper bags, which apparently caused their problem. And Penn Environment is saying don't ban paper bags. Then after that May meeting, the EAC would make final changes to that model ordinance, which you have a copy of, and propose to council that you take it from there and develop the ordinance and pass it. The ordinance includes a timeline for which it would go into effect, and we tossed around 90 days, 180 days from the passage to when the ordinance would actually come into effect. The other issue that has come up in meetings is finding alternative products. Like someone last night said, well, what do I wrap my chocolate bunnies in if I can't put them in plastic bags? And so somebody stood up and said, well, before plastic bags, they were wrapped in foil, and you can get foil here, and you can get this there, and here are other alternatives. And so the township was already ahead on this in terms of assisting businesses to find alternate sources of materials. And I've noticed actually personally going to businesses in this area that many have already taken that step to move away from the plastics and are substituting other materials. So this isn't totally foreign to everybody. So that's the general outline of how we want to go. The basic overview of the ordinance of the model ordinance and what we're proposing to be looking at is that there are certain exemptions. Well, the businesses that would be involved would be everybody, would be restaurants, would be grocery stores, would be retail. The only store that apparently has dispensation from this is dry cleaning business. And that is beyond us. That I believe that's at the state level. That's something to think about that. And that, but there are certain exemptions. So for example, bags that are used to transport produce, newspaper delivery bags, bags that are used to contain frozen foods or raw meat or raw fish, plastic containers that already came that way. Like if you order something from a company and that's how it comes, can't very well forbid you to sell it. But you're saying, don't put it in another plastic bag. The ordinance also provides that you can offer the customer an alternative, like you may have a paper bag, but then to charge the customer 15 cents for that. The 15 cents goes to the merchant, doesn't come to the borough under that, but it's money back to them to cover the cost of the alternative paper bag. But also, it's a little bit of an incentive for people to bring their own bags. There's also a process which it didn't make it into the model ordinance that you all have, which is dated February, but was discussed last night. I know that the Newtown Township ordinance that they are looking at includes an opportunity to apply for waivers. You can get a temporary waiver, like if you needed a plastic, if you're trying to wean off of plastic, but you just can't get it, but like the supply chain is down and you can't get it, or you've got a year's worth of stuff left over to use up, there is a means of getting a temporary waiver from the borough to say, okay, you have until this date to make your checks. There's obviously a lot of work that needs to be done to come up with a version of the ordinance that everybody feels comfortable with, but this is the process that the EAC would like to pursue. Any questions?
Yeah. For those of us old enough to remember the movie The Graduate.
Yes, I know.
One of the punchlines was plastic.
Yes.
Well, I went to a vocational technical school for high school. When we addressed in that early stage, the chemicals that go into the plastics,
right,
and whether the what they create or what they self-exist in bonds, some disintegrate and others are here for perpetuity.
Right.
So in addition to focusing on the definition of single-use bag, I'd be a little bit more concerned as to what is the material going into the carry thing, because Acme is already using a thicker bag that's not single-use. It's marked multiple-use. So I'm not sure whether they're skirting, and the industry who produces this stuff is trying to skirt the regulation by just adding, instead of that kind of plastic, this kind of plastic. So I'm not trying to give you any more homework, but I think some focus may be on what is the material that is the real problem that the fish are eating and we're taking it. What are the ingredients in the product? Because that's really where the real problem is. It's not the bag, it's what's in the
bag. It's also the bag itself. It's clogging the storm drains. It's flying through the air. I don't know what was swirling around on Saturday night, but I'm sure there were plastic bags and masks.
I'm just saying, but should the ordinance be more extensive as to the nature of the ingredients?
Don't know that.
I think that would be part of the ordinance development process.
Yeah.
So right now you've got your initial presentation.
Right.
But I think it's, you have some good thoughts. So as part of developing an ordinance.
Right, and in the model ordinance, it does talk about the replacement paper bag has to be between 40 and 100% recycled material in it, and needs to be stamped with a stamp stating that. So you can't give out a virgin paper bag, like it has to be a recycled, because what we're trying to do is get away from using up our resources.
In what month was it? March. I had business down in Sarasota and had the opportunity to play Tiger Woods' new miniature golf course. And on all the different seats and trash receptacles, it had information of how only recycled materials were used in constructing that facility, which was, I just found it amazing. And I'm going to get the information for when we're replacing trash receptacles and things, but possibly we would use recyclable materials for our own effort to solve some of these issues.
Unfortunately, a very, very small portion of plastics ever get recycled, and the rest of them take 1,000 years to
break. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I don't know, is there any other portion of this? Because I think we could probably spend 45 minutes saying, well, I think this, and here's an idea of that,
right.
But this is not the time for that. Now, this is, you presented to us, I think council gives you the, well, I'm hearing we give you the blessing to move forward with the survey and,
right,
you know, we're
that would that be on the agenda for next week council meeting, that the go ahead for the surveys to the
survey.
I don't think so. If you're telling the EAC to move forward with their survey, if you're all here tonight and you're all in favor of it, mm-hmm. or all comfortable with it, I think that's sufficient.
Right, because that's not passing ordinance. That's just saying.
No, you're not finding it anyway.
Oh, it's more like, I'm going to sound good. Thanks for having me.
If anybody has any comments about wording changes or something that seems to be missing
for the survey or the model ordinance?
The survey. Because this draft has gone through a few iterations, and every time somebody looks at it, well, you know, you forgot to ask this, or you forgot to ask mm-hmm. that, or there's no place for someone to, you know, free write an answer to this question or something like that. So if you have any comments, if you get back to me by the end of the week, just email me and just say that you have make this change on the survey, and I'll get it to Catherine and she'll set up.
Yeah, and maybe let's send it out after the weekend, just because it's a major holiday.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying, get in touch with me by the end of the
right,
week.
Sure.
Yeah. So while we thought we would hear back on Tuesday. So mm-hmm. you know, it's not on anybody's list to do before that. That'd be great. Yeah.
All right.
The Newtown Borough is overlapped with our own business association. And this larger one, I think it's called Newtown Professional Association, another one, and I can get you the contact information, because those people do business in the borough, and they may also have products that they could see a business opportunity.
I think she's not doing the MBA. She's doing actual business, not any business organization, not Newtown Experience, not MBA, but because not every business is a member of any of those. So it's just literally all business.
I'm just trying to get the maximum. If you're trying to get input.
Well, the people we want to hear from are the business owners who are in Newtown Borough, because they're the ones who are going to be affected. And the questions that we're asking are, what are you already doing? And what help would you need to make this transition?
Okay.
And so that's the audience. I guess our other question is that for that May EAC meeting, which is a week, I think.
Yes.
Whether we could perhaps engage, have it at a different venue other than just because getting these turnout.
Why don't you communicate with Judy about that to see if it's even open? So,
okay.
But if it is, I was having the same thought.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
So the second thing really is no longer an EAC issue. It's really solely in our hands to decide to put the work in to move it forward. So brought this up at the council meeting, and I didn't know if you wanted to say anything about it or
That you took check with EAC confirming yes, we're still interested. And
yes.
And EAC
confirmed yes.
Yeah, I mean, still interested. So figuring out where things were, Sue and Julia had some concerns about the sort of length and verbosity of it, and that it should be trimmed up. Sue was working with Barbara Murley at Rudolph Clark on putting it together. When I spoke to Barbara, she said that they had some conversations, and Barbara explained that all the things in there need to be in there legally. And they had a meeting scheduled, which didn't happen. And so that's where it was left. So I think what we would like council to do is to take a look at it, and any questions you might have, like why is this way, or
I disagree with this, to get it back to me and to Amy. We haven't set a deadline yet, actually. You know, what, 2 weeks or?
Yeah.
So a week from after the council meeting, say. What we are not looking for are grammatical corrections. Those will come. So as far as it is to say this clause is terrible and you forgot a comma, when we make it organized in a way that is accessible, understandable, makes sense, and therefore is implementable, and everybody feels good about it. And if anybody has any questions about why something has to be there, then we can send our list of questions to Barbara Morley. She can answer them. Then we move to the point of editing, because I don't want everybody all overlapping, spending 6 hours on editing unnecessarily. So we want to work on the content first.
And how? In what form do you want that feedback? Because everyone has a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
Some use Adobe and add comments that are embedded, and then other people write a little blurb saying, you know, on page
3. Well, you and I talked about having the comments. Well, it works with maybe one or two people going back and forth, or two or three people. If everybody's doing it, we could end up filling it up. But if everybody gives us like a document, this page, this paragraph, we can then turn it into one document, send it to Barbara and say, these are our questions and concerns. Then she can send us back her rationale or say, I see why this is confusing. Let's rephrase it. So if anybody has a different thought or idea on that process, please say so. So this is not like, you must do this. Amy and I talk about how it might look in a way that makes sense and you know, works. Yeah, we good with that? Emily, you had some, you looked like you had a thought. Or...
No, I'm just scrolling through it. I read it once like a year ago.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And I'm trying to recall if there is specific information in this that allows someone to opt out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if that's in here.
So that's a good question. Saying can we opt out? Because that is something that we talked about during the process when we got public input and you know when we had our discussion at the Sewer Authority. So is everybody good with that timeline? And then we have the holiday in between and for those who celebrated and no, I don't think anybody's going away. Are you? We're all here, right?
For next week?
No, for like in 2 weeks, like the next 2 weeks. Like nobody's got their big vacation to Hawaii where they're not going to be here and wants an extension. So, okay.
I have a comment on the concept of a single. But the first question is the residential haulers distinguish themselves from the commercial haulers?
Yes.
Yes.
So is this applicable only to residential?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Because there was a problem over in New Jersey. One municipality had a single hauler, and the single hauler said, "We're stopping service Friday."
But it was Republic.
Whoever the company was, and they walked away from the town. And I'm not sure what.
No, that's actually that's a good one. What do you do? It happened to us. That's what I said. Okay. Yeah, so I think that's something to consider. How do you handle that? Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for the
information. All right, thanks.
On Saturday, April 22nd, there's going to be an Earth Day celebration at the Newtown Theater from 7 to 9 p.m. All the information is available on the Newtown Theater website, and there's going to be a screening of I'm going to read it, several short environmental documentaries, and then there's going to be a panel that is moderated by Marnie Moscone, and the panelists will include people from varying environmental groups in the area, including someone from Bowman's Hill.
From where?
Bowman's Hill Wildlife Reserve. The Bucks County Food Shed Alliance and the Wrightstown Farmers Market, Penn Environment, among others. So,
what day of the week was it?
Thank you. It's on the website now.
thanks, Jen.
And it's on the website calendar too.
Okay.
It is on the 22nd, which is a Saturday.
All right, great. All right, Mary Ellen.
Okay. I have remaining vacancies on committees, commissions, and boards include the following. One on EAC, one on HARB. However, we received an application from Judith Ritter. One on the Human Relations Commission, one on the Joint Historic Commission, one on the Recreation Board, one on Shade Tree, Parking and Signs Ad Hoc, and two walk-friendly Newtown Standing Committee.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any to approve next week, any applicants?
Judith Ritter.
Judith Ritter.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah, and thank you. She seems very well qualified in instruction.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, does anyone have any questions for Mary Ellen? No. Thanks, Mary Ellen. All right, Emily?
You're welcome.
So next week, I'm going to make a motion to vote on approving the purchase of an ADA accessible swing for Brian Gregg Park. We had talked about this last year because it was part of the Rec Board's budget request for 2023 that was approved. However, since it's a non recurring expense, we do have to vote on it.
Right. It's not maintenance.
Yes.
Yeah.
The cost has gone up a little bit from last year from the quote that we put in the budget, but it's still within the parameters of what we approved. So one of the co-chairs sent me this to read. We wanted to have an inclusive swing in the borough at one of our playgrounds. The frame required for the inclusive swing is bigger and thicker. Our current set can't accommodate it. So we're putting in a new swing structure and the swing at Brian Gregg Park rather than Linton Park because of the little wrought iron fence around that. So it's going to be a great addition to the borough. We have no currently special needs adaptive equipment in any of our playgrounds. So that's going to be great. It's going to be accessible from the Chancellor Center parking lot via a cement sidewalk. So it'll be easy for wheelchairs, et cetera. And when they redo the mulch, it's going to be done with ADA accessible playground certified mulch.
Will that be the squishy stuff? But you have to separate that from the playground carpet that we get, like so they don't blend.
I'm not sure.
So that's something we'll want to make sure. But it doesn't have a clear boundary. How do they form the edges of it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
So anyway, we're going to be voting on that next week. Let me see here. I don't have the quote with me, but for the structure and the installation together, I think it's around $11,000, if I remember correctly.
There are some things that didn't include that they had at the bottom. It would be helpful to find out how much of those are just so that we know what the expenditure is. Like it had to do, I think, it was like a safety feature and installing the carpet. There was a list of maybe five things in like smaller print at the bottom left. And I should have printed it out and brought it with me and I did not. But that's something we can talk about.
Yeah, so it'll just be voting to approve some one thing we already voted to approve.
Right.
So, because it's happening. Let's see here.
So we've already approved this thing?
We did in the budget.
In the budget.
Yeah. So okay. This is more specifics, yeah. Like how will that handicap mulch blend
so
with a regular
installation project? And offloading,
yeah,
are not included in the proposal.
Okay. And then we have a separate installation,
yeah,
quote from the other company. So.
Right. So the swing and the frame, all the structure together is approximately $6,100.
Mm-hmm.
And then the installation is approximately, if I can add in my head, $5,800. It doesn't include the permit fees and that kind
that's
of stuff.
That's okay. Several things, right. There are several other things like the installation and offloading. So, you know, there'll be a cost for delivery. And then just to clarify, because I was, when it said the cost came in under despite removing the concrete footers, that doesn't mean removing them from the new project. It means removing the old ones, right?
I believe so, but that's something.
Yeah, also I'll
Tracy
know.
Will have to.
Yeah, I'm confirmed. It makes sense to me. I just want to.
Yeah.
Make sure.
So yeah, okay. So that's what we'll be voting on next week, and then I have one more thing, which is.
Can I like to stay on that topic? The swing sets at Linton are not within the fenced area, they're in the open area. So why did you pick Brian Craig Park over Linton? And do you propose in next year's budget to also put one in Linton?
Brian Craig Park is a top lot outside of the fence at Linton Hill, is not considered a playground. So that's why they're putting it at Brian S. Craig.
Because it'll be in the enclosed area.
Yes.
Right. So say with a child who had some special needs who was using the swing had a sibling they need to keep track of. They're fenced. Or even for the child who's using the swing, perhaps they could benefit from being in a fence. If you put it at Linton Park, it's unfenced.
Plus grass is, that's on grass and it's not considered ADA accessible.
Right, because it has to step up on the mulch. Yeah.
So.
Well, what is the weight limit for the user of the swing?
I have no idea.
So is this all designed for toddlers or up to like eight year old?
I believe it's even accessible for adults, but I'm not 100%
big
sure.
Kids. You can sit in it.
That's probably part of the reason for the supporting structure.
You might have trouble with this part. But.
Okay. I was just, are we designing playground equipment only for up to certain ages and not accessible to adults?
Well, it's for adults. It's meant as a playground equipment, but it holds like a child who's larger could sit in it. It's not a like toddler swing. It's a
like a child who's older physically, but mentally younger who wants to go on a swing could fit. That's the whole point.
Or a child in a wheelchair. You have special plastic over the arms that like latch between legs, so it's fully secure. So if you have a kid who's is wheelchair bound, you can put them in there and they're safe and secure. And the zero G means that the angle is like this, you don't have to worry about them tipping forward. So it's good.
My only comment is it may be appropriate to have signage to say, this is only suitable for children under this height or this weight or whatever it is. Because
but we also don't have that on any of the other playgrounds.
I know we're installing new things. And if certain equipment is not designed for children over 95 pounds, kids go to these parks all the time. And
it's not even great. They're super sturdy. Yeah. They have one at the Roberts Ridge, and I've seen kids of all ages on it, and two kids and three kids, it does not break. So we don't have to worry about, it being fragile.
The background for my question is I have a client with a 29-year-old autistic son.
Mm-hmm.
He's not spoken since he was four. He's 190 pounds. And they're trying to find things to keep this child busy. So that's the framework for my expanding usage for as many people as possible. And if we would have to do it over multiple years, we would do that.
This particular swing is just the first step of that's the rec board wanting to be more inclusive.
That's the
there's
best
not,
that's
there's
the
not
best.
Like a firm plan for what they're going to request next year, okay. But like next year, I believe that brings me to my next topic on the rec board, which is just yesterday I got their annual maintenance report. They went through the parks, and so I'm going to have to get in touch with you to figure out what Malcolm A can do and all of that stuff. But what they did say is in 2024, it looks like the main play structure at Brian Craig will need to be replaced, which is going to be a cost.
We inherited that from the Chancellor School, and that is at least like 25 years old, if you want. So it owes us nothing. And it was free when we got it. So yes, it's time.
So that's going to be a large expense next year.
And maybe 25 years from now, like another council will buy it.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to hear that rec board is expanding to meet the needs of all the citizens of the board, whether it be a baseball game or swing sets. You can't do it all at once, but it's great news to hear we're focusing on more opportunities for everyone.
Great.
I was just going to say that there's a specific grants out there for playground equipment that if you're going to do it next year, now would be probably a good time to apply for them. I could get you the names of them.
Oh, that would be awesome. Thank you.
It's like a post and deck with slide and the whole thing. So
Okay, great. I'm right. I'm gonna write that down so I don't forget.
Michelle's gonna give me
giving me stuff.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. So we'll have to deal with Scott and everything that you need to get done. It's not a lot this year. So.
Okay. Yeah, and thanks for bringing that, because I've like looking at you, it's been coming for a while. So. All right, streets, lights, and properties. The annual street sweeping is to be held on Wednesday, May 17th and Thursday, May 18th. For the rain date on Monday, May 22nd, we'll have information on our scrolling news section on the borough website. Because you'll have the north and the south, or north, south, east, west. But so be ready to move your cars.
Could I comment?
And then, yeah.
We had changed May to June during one of the cycles a couple years ago. Susan and I recommended and council through moving to June because during May, not all the debris is off the trees. Now, the counterbalance to this problem is you need to remove all this debris because it gets in the sewers and the water retention things that we have. So it was always a question of, is this the right time? And I think it's the wrong time. I think it should be in June, not in May, because we're going to collect a lot more. And we did, because we compared it from prior years to what happened the year we did in June. So that's the first issue. It's not if or not, but when. That's the first question. The other thing is, when we did it a couple of years, Susan and I walked around town to see if the job was being done, where he was just running up the street and never doing the curves. On Liberty was one of the biggest problems, because even though we told people and we made a point to have us go around and do all this stuff, they didn't move the cars. So all that got done was the center of the road. And that's a high volume street. And so just putting this information in the webpage or something else, I would like to see us send, we have all the addresses of everybody in town. And I would like to send a letter to everybody saying, here's the dates, move the cars.
They're getting it on the newsletter on the front of it. So you don't have to open it up. It is like a postcard, a big fat postcard that you get where it tells them right there. So
well, if it's a single postcard with a single message, fine. But when I talk to the people on the street, the day of the being done, when they were out there at night trying to pick up where the debris was left by a machine, they had gotten the bulletin. They didn't read it.
So it's there on the front of it. And I like, if you don't look at it, I don't think you're going to look at a letter or a postcard. You got it. It's like, there it is. They don't have to open it up, turn a page.
Magazines get on the pile or they get thrown away.
And then
why can't we do a letter?
It is a letter, though.
No, a single purpose message, get a postcard, move your car on these streets. Why can't we do that? We could hire a mailing service. All we got to do is deliver the.
Like a postcard that says.
It's a postcard. It's like, move your car on these dates.
Otherwise, maybe we can make really big type space on that newsletter, like super large.
No, I would like a separate piece of paper other than any other messages going on.
Can you find out how much it costs?
Okay, I'll call the mailing service.
And I just said one thing. So we did, Bob's right, we did a couple of years ago switch from May to June, and then we went back from June to May. And the reason we did it is because it will never be perfect. You're right. Not everybody's going to move their car. They're going to miss the message or whatever, or things just, it'll never be 100%. But I think that, what indicates a very successful street sweeping is the amount of tonnage of debris that is collected and is hauled off and doesn't end up in our storm drains and into our creeks. This is really mostly a stormwater.
We weigh that and report it.
But we did actually, we have been hauling away more debris in May than we did that one year in June, because by June,
it's already down there.
It's already been, we've had the rains and it's washed away. So, yeah, there's the perception and there's the reality. And I think that reality-wise may spell.
Okay. Well, I've stated my view, but I'd still like to do the single card mailing. How many people would be on the tax mailing list for properties?
So it's about 970. It's about like 970.
Okay, so up to 1,000. We're dealing with about 1,000 pieces. Okay. Just so when I talk to the mailers, like how many people, they call it by the piece. So they give you 50 pieces.
And you have to print it,
And they'll print it and mail it all out. All they need is the list.
And we use whatever the publishing company is that does our newsletters, which are going to be coming out like right before, you know, we're timing it. So those newsletters come into every mailbox in Newtown Borough just before
great summer meeting.
Tara's making a very valid point. I mean, that is the newsletter. It's coming every year. And it's right on the, when I send this off, I'm like, big, bold, highlight, yellow highlight, front page, the cover page, the street sweeper. I hear you. I do hear you. You know, I agree. I want people to see it and know it and get used to it. We do it every year, you know? But
and this would be like an above the fold headline.
There is no way,
right? Yeah. Exactly. But I'm saying like placement wise, it's the first thing.
Yeah. I say it's what you see. Yeah, it's like we're of Newtown. Move your car. I personally we're already sending something with it on it, and I don't see the need to waste ink and paper and money. And time.
So but Bob, if you're interested in pursuing it, if you find out how much it is, you can bring it to council and council can decide.
I'll try to do that before Wednesday, Tuesday. Today's Tuesday, but it's really Wednesday. So
you may have noticed the cement pad outside, like our little porch there, the underneath is decaying. There's water that seeped in and then come out and then like hit the plastering on the side. Yes. So Scott has a request and he's spoken to Steve Doan. We've done a lot of that type of work around town and he is supposed to give us a proposal, but he hasn't come back with it yet. But you know, no matter what, it's going to have a cost range. We don't know what we're going to find once we get in there, but the pad does need to be repaired and replaced. Yes. So this is just a necessary maintenance. So I just wanted to make everybody aware this is coming.
This, I'm glad you're here.
Is this right outside the door here?
Yes.
Okay. Question, I guess, for the solicitor. Doing that maybe or to you, ask your solicitor. You're doing a major like digging up and redoing. That's not ADA accessible. Do you have to make changes or are you allowed to leave the way it is?
We're not changing the ramp, so
we're making a repair from the where the water went in to the front because the water is flowing through that structure into the front, and you can see what's called spalling, the material is falling off. Susan and I went down this road.
We'll wrap up and then we'll do public be heard, and then we can go to solicitor answer. Do we have any announcements?
Yes. I just want to say thank you to, I think, the police department for putting out the crosswalk sentinels again today because everyone's out walking because it's beautiful out. So just want to say thank you because there are additional ones this year thanks to the police department budget. So anyway, I passed two of them on my walk here today, which is lovely. Thank you.
To talk about people walking, while doing maintenance at the house on Saturday, within an hour and a half, I had four encounters with immigrants from Ukraine, some who had been here and others who had fled the country. And so each time And the ages ranged in different places. And even the guy driving the car up the one-way street, the one-way, everybody was really nice, but they all commented on how welcoming we were. And I said, thank you for that observation, but it goes to who comes to our town. And in this case, it, you know, these people are neat. And I was appreciative of their comments because it's a reflection on our welcoming.
Yeah, that's nice to hear. Do we have any other announcements?
I talked to the person at the cigar store, and they're working on the installation of the banner. So that, right. That is underway.
All right, the public be heard.
Oh, I have a couple things to say. I will leave the concrete discussion for a side of it. The first is to let you know that the New Town Free Coalition is going to be doing a spring meeting in the Common on Tuesday, the 11th in the morning. And I've already talked with Scott McElman, and he's he'll pick up the bags and stuff. So if anybody is anxious to get on hands and knees with a trowel or a weeder or a pruner and pull out some weeds.
What time is that?
10 to 12. Or I think I'll probably be there at 9:30, but Nancy Meg's coming so she can point out and say, pull that, not that.
Great.
And so we'll switch up the Common.
Do you want to put that on the borough website?
Sure. I did put your cleanup day.
Yeah, the cleanup. 22nd. Yeah, the cleanup's on the 22nd. Yeah, and that's going to be off.
And I can put that on there too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. If anybody's interested, they should send an email to newtownfreecoalition@gmail.com.
Is that on your
email that you got? Yeah.
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 So I just shared that right on the best.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Julia, I was over at the park this week.
Yeah.
And our maintenance people have already been there. They've edged the flower beds.
Yeah.
So things were cleaned up from debris and stuff. It looked very, very nice. Very, very nice. And I didn't know we had a walkway down into the creek.
Oh, yeah. It's part of the big part of it. Yes. Yeah. Stones you go down and sit in the water. Yeah. The second thing I wanted to bring to your attention was I actually read in the patch and found it out later that. At Newtown Township is working on an overlay zoning ordinance for the Newtown Business Commons, which I don't know the details of it, but the way in which I have read descriptions of it sounds like a major change in what's going to be permitted in that part of the neighborhood. And my first question is Borough Council aware of this? Have you been contacted by anybody over in the township to say we're working on this? So there were some comments about, oh, it's going to include some high-rise apartments, include things like could be a multiplex, could be a miniature golf course, could be a this, could be a that. It sounds like they're expanding what's going to be permitted there. Up until this point, it's just been very quiet, you know, there's industrial, low-impact industrial activities there. So I know it's coming before their planning commission that not tonight's meeting, in 2 weeks I'm planning to go to, but I thought I'd bring it to your attention because apparently it's moved along quite a bit, and the Bucks County Planning Commission has been involved in helping them write something. I don't want to do that. The second part of that is that everything that happens in the township affects the borough, particularly from the traffic point of view. So I'm wondering if this is something that's going to need to be considered in that traffic study we're looking for. That might be looking in terms of what else is on the drawing board for the surrounding area, which involves people coming through town.
Thank you for bringing that up. So if somebody's driving from Rich Road to go to laser tag or mini golf,
right?
Or maybe they can take the bypass. But yeah, unlikely. thank you.
In their current ordinance, is that simply the permitting those kind of buildings? Because now we have the MAC being expanded in the hotel.
I have not seen this. I'm trying to get information about it. I saw it was referenced. I asked somebody about it. Just knowing that they're producing this overlay ordinance, which will change the uses that are permitted there. That's all I know.
Thank you.
Thanks. Do you have any other public to be heard? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. I'm so
sorry. Meeting adjourned.
Michelle, are there dates that work for you talking about the grants?
Oh, that's
yes.